Please read with me.
What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning to the grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order, just as Christ raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have united with him like this in death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey the evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from the death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace.
Amen. If you haven't turned in your Bible to Romans chapter 6, please do. And there is also in the bulletin an outline that will go along with the message and with the PowerPoint if you find that helpful. We're continuing our series in Romans chapter 6, these verses here. And as I talk about these verses this morning, I want to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you died? Have you died? I'm not talking about physical death. Because obviously, if you were dead physically, you wouldn't be here. You would either be in a casket, or crematory, or 6 feet under. But when I ask this question of have you died, I'm talking about the reality of a Christian who is united with Christ and has entered into death. The death to the old self, death to the old life, death to sin. You see, as we look at this passage, this is going to be talking here about some difficult things to grasp, but they're very true, and if we will understand them and embrace them and apply them, then you will live in victory in your life. But if you don't understand them and you don't apply them, you don't accept and embrace it, you will not live in victory. In fact, you will live a lukewarm life. You will live a self-life. And so Paul here is talking about a spiritual union with Christ. Through this spiritual union with Christ, we die to the old life. We die to the old sinful person that we once were. And Paul here says, since we have died to sin, we now are alive with Christ. We are alive to a new life. Let me try to illustrate. A few weeks ago, actually it was quite a little bit longer, my laptop started acting really, really weird. And you've probably experienced things like this. You open your browser, and when I did this, I opened my browser, it would immediately go to some, you know, really bizarre website. Just automatically on its own, you know. And I couldn't stop it. You try hitting the buttons, you try cancel, you try control, alternate, delete, nothing's working. It just, you know, it was going to this bizarre website. And I wouldn't, you know, let it load. I would just turn the computer off before it could get to this website, not knowing what it was. And, you know, I tried to repair it. I tried to fix it. And the bottom line is, a virus had gotten into it, had gotten into the hard drive of the computer, and that hard drive was kaput, fried, done. So, you know, rather than just tossing the whole computer, I just got a new hard drive. And I put the new hard drive in it, minus the virus, and it worked fine. Now, here's the thing, watch this. When I turn the computer on and I go back to the browser with a new hard drive in it, I could still choose to go to that website. That bizarre, crazy website. I could choose to do that. I don't have to. It's not automatic. It's not something that is going to happen immediately by its own control, by its own volition, so to speak. But I still had the choice. I could say to myself, I wonder what that website was all about. And find it, and boom, go to it. You see, what was necessary was a new hard drive, which gives me the freedom, gives that computer the freedom to not go to their website, to not go to that which is bizarre and bad and hurtful. And so it is with us. Paul says to us, he says, look, you are no longer slaves to sin. Grace is reigning in us. The grace that he gave us through the sacrifice of himself for our sin. Grace, that goodness, that mercy, those good things that God has for us, that grace, that which we don't deserve has been given to us. And then he asks the question, since we died to sin and since grace is reigning, should we go on sinning that grace may increase? That's what it says, verse 6, right? That's what it starts with. Shall we say then this? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. Now, just like that computer, there are always going to be some Christians that ask that question, that push that envelope. There always will be. And there was Christians at that time, you know, that were dealing with this issue, and that's why Paul writes this. And really, what is the issue? It's our issue of freedom in Christ. If I have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, and I am set free from sin, but I can still choose to sin. I can still go back to the old sin. And Paul says, by no means should we do that. Because you see, we have to reaffirm what is true here spiritually. Paul's talking about spiritual realities. They are real. They are realities that are spiritual, but they are real. He says we have died with Christ. And you see, watch this. We have to reaffirm that truth in our lives every day. We have to reaffirm that truth that I died with Christ. I died to the old self. I died to sin. I was crucified with Christ, and I died to that. Now, I have to reaffirm that every day. The reason I can reaffirm it is because Christ has set me free. That's not something I did on my own. Christ has set me free. Now I have to reaffirm it every day in my life. So just like that hard drive, you see, God didn't come to us and say, well, you know, let me add a couple of more programs to you and try to fix you. Let me improve you a little bit. Let me see if we can work around this. Let's see if we could do a reboot and get rid of this virus, or at least, you know, put it to the side. No, God doesn't do that with us. God comes and he pulls out the old hard drive. He pulls the old sinful self out of us and he puts in the new self, the new hard drive. He puts in the mind of Christ. He puts in the new nature. He puts that into us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. You see, He doesn't just clean us up. God doesn't just clean us up. God gives us a new life through Christ. Jesus gives us a new hard drive. Jesus hardwires us with His very self. We die with Him, but we must reaffirm it every day. So the main point of this message is this. We have been united with Messiah Jesus, Christ Jesus. I use that word Messiah, Messiah in the Hebrew, Christ in the Greek. We've been united with Messiah Jesus in His death. We have died to the old life, the old sinful life, and we have risen into new life with Him. We died and we've risen. Now watch. Jesus Christ, God's Son, did not come and put on flesh and die on that cross, give His life as a sacrifice, and then rise from the dead. He did not do that just so we can be forgiven. That is not the full gospel. He did not come and give His life. He did not die on that cross and bear the sins of the world just so we can be forgiven. No, that is a part of it. He gave it to us. He brought this to us so that we could be forgiven and live a new life. Not only does He cancel the old debt, cancel the penalty, but He gives us new life in union with Him through the Holy Spirit. We can have new life. We can live a new life. We can. It's the Spirit-filled life. It's the deeper life. But it is a life of death. To live in Christ is to die. You and I must die to ourselves. You and I must die to sin. Paul says it himself in Corinthians. He says, I die daily. Now, I know these are hard concepts. I know these are not easy concepts to grasp and hold on to. I'm going to try to go through this and help us to understand it. So bear with me as we get through it. Let's break it down. Number one, it says that we died with Jesus in His death. We died with Jesus in His death. And this is symbolized through baptism. Baptism, water baptism, by the way, which is what every Christian should go through. Every Christian should go through water baptism. It's a symbol, a picture of joining with Christ in His death. Just as Christ died and He was buried in the tomb and then He was raised up into new life, so we, when we're baptized, we show a picture of that and we're joining with Christ. We go down under the water and it's the death to the old life. We're joining Christ in His death. And then as we come up out of the water, we are raised with Christ into new life. Now, baptism is just a picture. It's just a symbol. It's not the reality. The reality is worked in our heart by the Holy Spirit. But baptism is a picture of it. And it says, therefore, we died to the old self and the old sinful life. We must understand this truth of the Word, and we must embrace it. Listen, there's a lot of Christians that struggle at this point. Well, you know, I want to follow God, and, you know, yeah, I want to do this Jesus thing, but man, I'm not getting baptized. You know, I can't do that in front of people. You know what your problem is? You have pride in your heart. You have pride in your heart. You're more concerned with what people think about you, what you might present of yourself to people, than you're concerned about what God thinks about you. Ooh, Pastor, that's not warm and fuzzy. That doesn't feel good. Why are you preaching that? I'm preaching it because it's God's Word. It's God's truth. You see, this is a problem with most Christians. We're more concerned about what people think. We're more concerned about what we want and what we want to do than we're concerned about what God wants and what He requires. And we have to get past that. That's part of self. That's part of that which we must die to every day. There was a time in my life that I didn't want to tell people that I was a Christian. Now, I understand this, especially with young people. I mean, you know, when I started following Jesus, I was young. You know, I was a teenager. But I understand the peer pressure, you know. You don't want to be looked at as a weirdo. Well, none of us want to be looked at as a weirdo. How many of you want to be looked at as a weirdo? Okay. Okay. We have some Jesus freaks out there. But as a young person, I struggled with this. I was like, you know, my parents are dragging me to church. And, you know, and by the way, my parents made me dress up and wear a certain tie to church. It was horrible. I hate tithes. By the way, do you know why tithes were invented? Tithes don't look like, you know, what they look like today. Originally, they were more of like a, kind of like a handkerchief or a scarf. And you know what they were used for? To blow your nose. That's what they were used for. And someone got the bright idea, oh, let's make these things look fancy and nice. And, you know, and if you want to wear one of those, God bless you. Enjoy. They choke me. And you know, every time I wear them, I just break out in these hives in my neck. It's horrible. Anyway. And so, you know, I'm going to church, dragging me to church, and, you know, I had no clue, really, what the pastor's talking about. That's my fault, not his. My heart was not there. And so to tell others, you know, that I'm a Christian, whew, you know, here's something that happened. My dad started driving the church bus. You know, the old days when churches used to have a big bus and they would drive around, pick kids up, pick people that didn't have a ride and everything. Well, they had this big blue church bus. And Dad got the bright idea that since he's driving it, he should park it in our yard. So get picked up by the bus and all the kids are like, what's that in your yard? I'm like, oh, that's church bus. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. Now, you can understand that with a young person, a child, but problem is some of you are ashamed of Jesus. Some of you are ashamed of Jesus. Some of you are like me with that church bus. You're ashamed of Jesus. You're ashamed to tell people that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And you know why? Because you're stuck in yourself. You're stuck in this self life. You see, because when you die to the old self, it doesn't matter what people think of the new you. When you understand that the new me in Christ is the truth, it's the way, it's the life, it's the reality of life. When I understand that life is really all about Jesus, it's all about my life in union with Him. You see, I stop worrying about all that stuff. And you and I have to come to that place. You and I have to come to an altar of death to myself and my old life, my old sinful ways. We have to come to that place and lay it down. Jesus laid it down on the cross. Spiritually, we are joined with Him, and now we must lay it down at an altar of death to self. You can say amen or oh me. No, that didn't sound too good. We all have to come to this place. And so we died with Jesus in His death. It says we were crucified with Him. We have to count it as true and done in my life. That's what it means when it says count it as done. Count it so. Reckon it so. I have to count it as done. Now, the spiritual reality, this death is a spiritual work done by Christ. You can't do this yourself. This is not about self-help. This is not about improving yourself or doing better. And I'm not talking about, you know, improving your diet. Or you know, improving exercise and physical training. You know, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm talking about my soul. I'm talking about a spiritual life in Christ. You and I cannot improve ourselves this way. You and I must die to it so that we have the new life that God has for us in Christ. It says in verse 6, the old self was crucified with Him, with Christ. The old self was crucified with Him. Why? So that the body of sin might be done away with or rendered powerless. In other words, this old life, the old me that is encased in the flesh, it's encased in this body, right? See, I can't pull Tom out of this body of flesh. I can't pull me out and set me over there. Sometimes I wish I could. Sometimes this old body, you know, gets us in trouble, doesn't it? Sometimes this old body, you know, it's like my spirit wants to go that way. My spirit, soul, man, wants to go that way, but my body's going that way. You know? In my new spirit, man, I'm not interested in these old things, these old sinful ways, but my body is like, man, it's stuck on those things. Sometimes I wish I could pull myself, the real me, the new me, out of this old body, this old person. But what has happened is that this old self, this old person, has been crucified with Christ so that this body of sin might be done away with, or better, as the NIV has an alternate translation, rendered powerless. Look with me at verse 6. It says that this body of sin might be done away with or rendered powerless. It's the word katargo. It means to inactivate. It means to inactivate or to render inoperative. To render it inoperative. In other words, you know, it's kind of like there's an old hard drive in us, and God puts in a new one, and by putting in that new one, it renders the old one inoperative. It renders it inactivated. But here's the problem. You and I can go back to that old hard drive. You and I can reactivate it. And we struggle with that. But we have to deal with this spiritual reality that we die to that and we must die to it daily. Jesus talks about this reality in John chapter 12. Jesus, the master illustrator, comes to us with an illustration. John chapter 12, 24 through 25. Colby Garrett is going to read that scripture for us.
As a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while a man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life.
Illustration, he says, unless this kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will not produce any fruit. See, what he's talking about is a picture of our life. We have to die to the old self. We have to die. And as we do that, fruitfulness will come out of us because of the life of Christ in us. You see, the life of Christ doesn't come through me continuing to put myself forward, the old me. I remember I was in seminary many years ago, too many years ago, and one of my classmates, we got to talking about our calling and following God and, you know, following through and going to seminary. You have to understand that seminary for me was, I mean, that was like the desert experience, you know. I had already gone through college, and I'm not much of a student. And 4 years of college was very difficult for me. I kept a real high grade average during my first couple years of college. I kept a real high grade average of about a D. I struggled in college. And somehow, you know, God calls me to ministry. That's another story. And I'm going to seminary, and I was like, seminary? You know, that's basically graduate level. You know, and a lot of master's degrees are 1 year, with seminary graduate degree is 3 years. And I'm like, man, how in the world am I going to do this? That's insane. But anyway, one of my classmates says, we're talking about our calling, and he says, yeah, he said, you know, even from a young age, I kind of felt like to go into the ministry would be a good idea. And I looked at him, I said, a good idea? He said, yeah. He said, I've always kind of wanted to go into the ministry. I kind of always wanted to be a preacher. I said, really? He said, I've never wanted to be a preacher. God called me and dragged me kicking and screaming. And he said, no, I just never had that experience. He said, I just kind of thought it would be a great idea to be a preacher. And I don't know. That kind of just left me scratching my head. And, you know, and as I watched him progress, it's like there was no call. There was no passion. You know, see, it was just a good idea. It wasn't a God idea. It was a good idea. Listen, you and I have a lot of good ideas in our lives. And you know what? Most of the time, God's not really interested. He's not really interested in your good idea. What He is interested in is a God idea, an idea that He puts in you through Christ in a new life. And you know what? My friend struggled. It began to get hard. And then he struggled. He was married, and his wife did not share the idea with him of going into the ministry. She did not want to go into the ministry. And she basically said to him, well, you can do your thing, and I'll do my thing. And I said, uh-oh, that is trouble a-brewing. And it was. A lot of trouble. He had a lot of difficulty. It's not a good idea to go into ministry. You better have a God idea to go into ministry. And so, Jesus illustrates it with, you have to die to yourself. And when you do that, just like that seed dies, disintegrates, and as it does that, it becomes more fruitful than it could ever be. Number two, the fact that we died with Christ is a truth, but number two, equally true, is that we have been raised with Christ into new life, so that we too may live a new life serving God through the indwelling Spirit. Okay, so number one, we died. We died with Christ. We were co-crucified with Him. That's a spiritual reality that we must reaffirm every day. But now, we have been raised with Christ into new life so that we can also live a new life serving God through the indwelling Spirit. Now, here's the thing. If our old flesh is a reminder of the old life, then the indwelling Holy Spirit is a daily reminder of the new life that we have in Christ. I read a book one time. It was entitled, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. I like that title. I like that title. Because it's almost like a sense that, you know, the Holy Spirit within me is, He's just watching over me, even as I sleep. And the moment I wake up in the morning, the Holy Spirit says to me, says, Good morning. And I should respond back, Good morning, Holy Spirit. You know, by the way, we're not talking about anything weird when I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the Spirit of Christ, right? Christ can't live in you and me physically, but He lives by His Spirit. And that's the miracle of getting saved, of being born again, of receiving Christ. The miracle is that Christ comes to live in me by His Spirit. It's a reality. You know, it's not something fake or weird. It's not something that I conjure up in my life. No. How do I know that that's true? How do you know that that's true? How does it happen? Watch this. How does it happen that a person that at one point has no interest in Jesus Christ at all, they're living their own life, they're doing their own thing, and at some point, all of a sudden, something miraculous happens where their heart is turned towards God and they begin to follow Jesus Christ. They begin to have this relationship with Jesus Christ. How does that happen? That, my friend, is a miracle of the Holy Spirit working in that person's life. You and I can't make that happen. We can't even make ourselves do what we want, right? We can't even stop ourselves from doing those things we shouldn't. You can't make another person do anything. Ah, but God can. God can. God knows how to get our attention, doesn't He? God knows how to get us to a place where we will listen and where we begin to respond to Him. And so it is equally true that we have been raised with Christ, raised through the resurrection. We died through the crucifixion, but we have been raised into the resurrection, into new life, so that we may live a new life through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 9 and 10. Brother Bruce Gordon will read that for us to help us understand this new life in Christ.
The Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness.
If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. I think there's a lot of people, even in churches this morning throughout this nation, there's a lot of people that think they are Christians, but they do not have the Spirit of Christ in them. There's a lot of people that go through church, they go through the ritual, they might go and even, you know, take communion, go through the ritual of a particular church that they might be going to, they might be singing songs, they might give in the offering, they might shake the preacher's hands, there might even be some people that get baptized, and they do not have the Spirit of Christ in their life because Jesus said, a good tree will bring forth good fruit. He says, a good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit, and a bad tree, watch this, a bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit. So we've talked about, you know, being good and bad soil, good and bad dirt. And Jesus talks about being a good tree or a bad tree. And it's all wrapped up into the fact that whether I've come to that place of dying to myself, joining myself with Christ, and then living a new life with the Spirit within me, the indwelling Spirit, so that I can live a fruitful life. Fruits that are good, that are righteous. Number three. So, if we died with Christ, and we have been raised with Christ, and we have the indwelling Spirit of Christ within us, we then are to count ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ. When I say count ourselves, meaning I count it as done. I count it as true in my life. I think the old translation sometimes said reckon it. Remember in the old days, if you wanted an affirmation from somebody, say, do you reckon it's true? Say, yeah, I reckon so. Say that word with me, I reckon it. Sound like a bunch of hillbillies, don't you? But to reckon it as true, to count it as true, is saying it's true and it's done in my life. And Paul says, count it done in my life. Now watch, this is not a head game. It's not a head game. This is not self-effort here, but it means I die to myself daily. You see, the spiritual reality that God did through Christ is that we died with Him. That has to have happened by Christ, otherwise it wouldn't be effective. It wouldn't have happened to us. But now we must reaffirm it. Every day, we must reaffirm the spiritual reality. Count ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ, and not give ourselves to as instruments of wickedness, but rather as instruments of righteousness. In other words, I have a choice in my life. And this, you know, when I became a Christian, a true Christian, and began to follow God, I began to realize something. Wow, God, you're taking a big risk with me. I want you to think about that for a second. God is taking a big risk with you and me. Say, look, I'm giving you new life through Christ. You are forgiven of your sins. You are covered with the righteousness of my Son, Jesus Christ. All of your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. If you truly know Christ, all of your sins are forgiven. And now God says, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to Christ. And so we have a choice. And it's a risk. God risks the fact that you and I can choose to do evil. We can choose to do sin. We can choose to be instruments of wickedness instead of instruments of righteousness. That's a huge risk. Let me ask you something. Would you risk your name and your reputation on me? Whether I'm trustworthy enough by the power of the Spirit to not sin? Would you risk that? I don't know if I'd risk it on myself. I don't know if I'd risk my name or reputation on you. I don't know if you would risk your name and reputation on me. That's a tough choice, isn't it? But God risks His name. God risks His nature, His reputation on you and me. Wow. Because I've said it before, when people look at you and me, and we call ourselves Christians, they're saying, oh, he must be something of God. She must be something of God. And that is a huge responsibility, isn't it? Now, we don't do these things just to be seen, right? This comes out of a true heart of repentance and righteousness because there really is no other way to live. If you want to live victoriously, if you want to live overcoming, then you have to reaffirm daily the spiritual reality. This is the practical way. I have to die to myself daily. Every day, I die to myself, I die to sin, and I give myself to God in commitment to live this day in the new life through the power of the Spirit. So, let me give you a very practical, down-to-earth example. In the morning, whether it's, you know, next to my bed or next to a chair or wherever I particularly am, I will say, God, this day, I die to myself. Lord, I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me with His power because I cannot live this life in my own strength. I cannot. And so I die to myself. I die to sin. And Lord, I want to live in new life to you today. Now that's not hard, is it? That's not, you know, just that little prayer is not hard. But I mean it. I really mean it. And it's been a discipline for me in my life to do that. Are there days that I miss it? Yes. Pastor, you mean there's days that you forget to pray that? Yes. Just like you. I'm human, just like you. And guess what? Those days that I forget to pray, the days that I rush out into the day, whoo, it is not a pretty picture. But most days, I remember. One song, I love that song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. It says, you know, I have to live my life in a real way, authentic way. He says, I wake up in the morning and I jump out of bed. Got to get moving. No time to get down on my knees and pray. But suddenly, tragedy calls. And all of a sudden, I have time to get down on my knees. You see, you and I have to find that time every day. Get down on our knees and say, God, this day, I die to myself. I want to live to you. And I can only do it through the power of the indwelling Spirit. So Holy Spirit within me, fill me this day. Fill me with your power. Fill me to overflowing so that I can live this life that you've called me to. We are to die to ourselves daily. We are to die to sin daily and commit ourselves to Christ through the empowering work of the Spirit. This is the only way you can live the Christian life. If you don't live the Christian life this way, you will live a life of defeat. You will be ineffective. You will be inopportune. You won't be aware when opportunities come your way because you're being directed by self. You know, when God brings you an opportunity where you can share the hope and the love of Christ with somebody who's hurting, who's interested, we'll pass right by because we're not tuned in. How can you be tuned in if you're not tuned into the Holy Spirit? And you see, this, folks, this is, I think, one of the biggest problems for Christians today. We are living the self life. Many Christians are living in defeat. Many Christians are living in irrelevance to a world that is dominated by sin and self and hopelessness and death. And we are living an irrelevant life because we're not living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I know this is not a feel-good sermon. I know this isn't a sermon that makes you feel good. But you know what? What brings me hope is that if we will die to ourselves and we will allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, then God will do incredible, amazing things through us. Where we actually get to share the hope and the love of Christ with somebody and they're actually interested. And they actually say, really? Wow. I'd like to know more about that. I wish we had time to testify to the ways God has worked in our lives this week. Some of you have shared Christ with other people this week and they've been interested. They've responded, haven't they? Some of us have actually stopped and prayed for somebody, maybe somebody we didn't even know, and they're in a situation where, you know, if I'm into myself, you know, and some of us are a little bit more meek and introverted than others, you know, but the Spirit of Christ will move you to reach out and to help somebody, reach out to them, even when we don't want to, even when it pushes us out of our comfort zone. The Spirit of Christ sets up opportunities like that. The Spirit of Christ begins to work in us to root out those things in our lives that bring us such defeat, bring us such self-life, bring us such sin. You see, it's just like, as I talked about in the beginning, you know, I searched and searched and searched on that laptop to find out where that virus was. It was almost like it would move, you know. I would think I found it. And when I delete something, you know, delete something in the registry or find it buried in one of the documents, and I would delete it. I was like, oh, I got it. And I reboot the computer and zoop, there we go again. It was almost like it would self-replicate. Weird. And you see, I couldn't keep chasing that thing in my life. I had to get rid of it. I had to get rid of the hard drive. But watch this. God will search and destroy these things in our life. He will search them out and root them out by the power of the Holy Spirit. But you've got to be willing. He's not going to do it, forcing himself upon you. He's a gentleman, and he will root it out. But you've got to cooperate. Whatever it is you might be struggling with, God's trying to root it out, you've got to cooperate with him. I was talking with somebody just the other day, and you know, they admitted that, you know, I don't really want to do this Jesus thing. You know, there's part of me that just doesn't want to, you know? And my encouragement to them was, look, I understand. I really do. I struggle with that old part of me too, that there's times that I just, you know, Lord, I don't want to do this Jesus thing. It's too hard. It requires so much. You have to be all in. And if you find yourself at that place, here's what you need to do. You need to say, God, change my heart. You can't change your heart. But He can. He can do it. And if it requires you coming to an altar and laying it down, symbolic of what you want God to do, that doesn't do it in and of itself. That's just a symbol. I'm about to give an altar call in just a few moments. And some of you need to be up here. And some of you won't come up because you're worried and concerned about what other people will think. May I urge you to get past that, to get past yourself, and to be more concerned about what God is speaking to you in your life, what He wants to do in your life. He wants to root these things out in our lives. But He will only do it if we say, God, I want it. I want You more than I want this. I want You, Lord, more than I want all these other things in my life. I want You. Lord, change my heart. Change my heart, Lord. Let's all stand together. If that's you, as we are standing, I want you to begin to come and make an altar here before the Lord. Come on up. Show God that you're serious. Show God that you want Him to root these things out in your life. And as we're beginning to do this, we're going to sing that beautiful hymn again. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. If you pull those words up, brothers. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence freely live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. Is that you this morning? God is calling. Will you respond? This is your time. This is your moment. I surrender all. I surrender all. Blessed Savior, I surrender all. Before we continue on, maybe you're here today and this is new to you. Perhaps you've never heard this before and you're processing it, and that's okay. But if you feel God working, tugging in your heart, saying, come to me, then I invite you, encourage you, take a step of faith. Say, God, I don't understand any of this, but I want You. I want to know You. I want to know Christ as a reality in my life, and I invite you to come. We'll pull these flowers out of the way, make more room. But you know, here's the thing. God will do a miraculous thing in your life if we'll let Him. If you will let Him, He will do miraculous things. I can't do anything. It's not me. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that is working right now. So if that's you, you come. Let God begin a miracle in your life. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. Let me fill thy Holy Spirit, newly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Last verse. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Father God, thank You that You love us, that You sent Your Son Jesus for us, that we might have new life, Lord, that we might truly experience a new life in Him. I pray this over this congregation, that we will walk in death to self and life in Christ. Lord, raise us up into new life every day. Help us, Lord, to die to ourselves and die to sin. Lord, I pray that. I pray that for myself. I pray that for each one here. And Lord, for these that have come, do a special work in their life. Lord, You know exactly what they need. We praise You, Father. We thank You for meeting with us. And now I bless these people. I bless them with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we go forth from here and walk with You this day. In Jesus' name. And the people of God said amen. Now if you're